Today I want to start at the beginning, and in fact, I want to focus on the beginning for the rest of the message. So that could be a long message. If you stay on the beginning and you never get past that. Now, something I want to focus on today, and we can sometimes forget what we have learned. That's another important thing that was brought out in the In Accord. Sometimes we have generations of members who haven't heard things. As he was mentioning, you know, these things happened in 95, and many of us here are familiar with that, but many here weren't around in 1995. And so some of the things that were challenged then and some of the things that people had to go back and reprove, we have to go through from time to time, and some have never heard those things. This particular topic is one of my favorite studies from when I was a teenager, and even this week's In Accord, talking about fundamental doctrines and basics and things. This isn't one of the fundamental doctrines, but it's one of the basic teachings of the church that so many other things will follow after. And it is important that we cover those particular things. In fact, what I want to cover today will lead to into a couple of sermons that I plan to give in the next few weeks. It's also important to look at this particular topic. It's interesting that services started off today with two particular hymns, hymn number 3 and hymn number 125. The topic was asked and talked about in the opening prayer. Where did everything begin? And how did it begin? I want to read from our Kagwa Daily Bible Verse blog. It says, "No, the galaxies and the vast realm of space did not come into being by an uncontrolled explosion of hot, dense matter. No, human life did not evolve from a mixture of chemicals in a primordial soup that gradually evolved into complex living organisms." That's one idea of human beings. They came from primordial soup. Some human beings can't even make soup, period, let alone come from soup. "These ideas are man-made theories that ignore some of the most basic principles of science, including Newton's third law of motion." Now, science tries to disprove Christianity, tries to disprove religion, but yet sometimes science is what proves that religion is valid. This law states, the law of Newton states, "For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. In simple terms, something has to be the cause that provides the energy for movement or action to occur." Paul reinforces this basic truth of God, that God is the cause of creation. He caused it to happen. Paul does not stop there. He adds a vital implication in verse 27, "so that they should seek the Lord in a hope that they might grope for him and find him." Seeking God does not just mean an academic acceptance of the reality of his existence. Meaning there's a lot of people who say, "Oh, I believe that there's a God." Over the last 10 or 15 years, "I believe that there's a higher power," or "I believe in some kind of supreme being." That many have gotten away from accepting God and say, "Well, there's a supreme being, there's a power, there's something." And many people will say, "Well, since we all believe in a higher power, we all worship the same being. Since you call it a power, I call it a being," they think we worship the same thing. So it says, seeking God does not just mean an academic acceptance of the reality of existence. Seeking God means investigating, accepting, and instilling his standards in your way of living. It's just logical. God created all of us and has the right to tell us how to live the life that he gave us. So God created us, tells us how to live. Just as was mentioned in the In Accord, what Paul said, "I'm going to teach you how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." So I want to go where everything started. And no, it's not in the book of Genesis. Let's go to John chapter 1 and verse 1. There are two books referred to as the books of beginnings. And in the New Testament, John chapter 1 goes back further than Genesis 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. And again, this was something that's exciting for me when I was young, and it's still a passion for me because there's so much detail in just these two passages, Genesis 1 and John 1, that lay out a foundation and an understanding for much of the rest of the Bible. John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, the Word was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." So it says, in the beginning. This is typically where, not where someone would go to look at the beginning. You say, well, where do you go for the beginning of the Bible? Genesis. Well, this says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is what had existed for eternity. This is something going back to the very beginning that was not a beginning. A beginning of understanding of the God family, but they had existed for eternity. This verse describes God the Father and the Word before the creation was ever done, before there were angels, when it was God the Father and the Word, before any of the creation was done. And it describes a relationship of God the Father and the one who would later become Jesus Christ. I want to read from John 17, and I will be giving several references to other passages as we go through John 1 and then Genesis 1. But John 17, verse 4 says, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." And he wasn't just talking about a particular work of his ministry. He says, "Now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." So John 17 says, I had glory before the world was ever created. This is important. That's also repeated in verse 24 of John 17. So in John 1 and verse 2, after telling us that the beginning was God the Father and the Word, it says, he was in the beginning with God. They were all that existed. Now, this can be mind-boggling sometimes to think nothing else existed except God the Father and the Word. Our human minds can't comprehend having always existed. You know, going back, well, in our minds we say there has to be a beginning. There had to be a start. But we don't deal in the same things in the same way that of understanding that God has. And it's just as hard for us to think about looking at the future. To think God has always existed and he will always exist in the future. Well, when we're changed to spirit being, we will live for eternity. Meaning there'll be no end. That's kind of hard for us to picture as well, because human beings have an end of life. And yet we are going to live for eternity. So there are certain things which are hard to grasp sometimes and hard to understand, but yet God lays it out and tells us this is the way it was. There was God the Father and the Word before any creation. Another reference is Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1. Talking about Melchizedek, it said, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." First being translated King of Righteousness, and so then also the King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God and remains a priest continually. Well, that's how we understand and we know that Abraham was tithing a tenth to the Word. Neither father nor mother nor genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. He was dealing with the Word. There was no beginning and no end, and we clearly see that this is speaking about the Word. All right, John 1 and verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So speaking of the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all things were made through him, and nothing was made that wasn't made by him. This truth alone, when we think about it, is amazing, because the world doesn't comprehend that Jesus Christ, who was the Word, did the creating. The one who became Christ did all of the creating. Sometimes I think it's important to go back and look at these proofs because they show that Jesus Christ was the God of the Old Testament. It proves that he was the one who worked with them, that he did the creating, that he gave the law. And when you understand even just that facet of it, that Jesus Christ, as the Word, gave the law, then you go, okay, why would he come and die to remove the law that he gave in the Old Testament? You have to question and begin to understand, okay, wait a minute, who am I dealing with and what am I looking at? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to come back to John. You might make a mark to be able to come back to it. But Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 8. Paul saying to me, who am in less than who is the least of all the saints, he said, you know, I'm counted as the least, and he did that because of his position and what he had done before he became an apostle. He said, I'm counted as the least of these of all the saints, that this grace was given to me that I should preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Again, another statement, all things were created through Jesus Christ. God the Father did the creating, but it was through Jesus Christ, or through the Word, who later became Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. From the New King James, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also he made the worlds. So he says he's heir of all things, but he made them. They were made by him. Now, you'd think about that Jesus Christ, as the Word, was creating the earth by the command of God the Father, and what he was creating was something that he was going to inherit. Not many times do people create their own inheritance, but God provided everything. God told him what to do, and God, by his voice, spoke it, and Jesus Christ, the Word, performed it. And why is it important to know that he made the worlds? Well, the world thinks that there's a God the Father is the God of the Old Testament. He was a harsh God. He did the creating, and yes, he made things, and we need to respect that and honor that. But then the Son came, and he's a totally different character, the peaceful Son of the New Testament, and he changed everything that his Father did. That sounds more like a modern-day thing. Son comes along, Son wants to change what his Father did. I've got different ideas, different opinions. Well, that's not what took place. It shows us that Jesus Christ existed as the Word long before he became flesh. And Jesus Christ is one and the same, God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament. Now, even today, people will argue, well, we don't know who was the God of the Old Testament. It could have been God the Father. Well, God didn't dwell with men. God didn't come down to the earth. Nobody's seen his face or heard his voice at any time. But yet, the Word did. And in describing the throne of God, Revelation describes in Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now remember, Christ said, I'm going to have the glory that I had with you before the creation. He said to have glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We're not far from Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. And again, some of these verses are just reiterating the point that all things were created through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed unto us the kingdom of his Son in his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. It says everything was created by the Word, which here is talking about the Son of God. All things were created that are in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He created it, and it's his inheritance. It's what he's going to receive. It's his inheritance, but it's also ours. Because he created it, and it is for him as his inheritance. But we're told that we are joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs of what was created and what will be given to Jesus Christ. And that involves the entire creation. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. Ephesians 3 and verse 18, this is the Apostle Paul speaking again. He's saying he's the least of the saints. And he said he's to speak to the Gentiles. But he says it is the beginning of the ages. It's been hidden in God. The mysteries have been hidden. Who created all things through Jesus Christ? And that is one of the mysteries. Because if you go out and talk to most people in the world and you say Jesus Christ did the creating, they say, no, what do you mean? No, Jesus Christ wasn't around until the New Testament. He didn't come until the New Testament. It says verse 10, to the intent now, the manifold wisdom of God, that it might be made known by the church. Might be made known by the church. And again, the church has held to the fundamental teachings and principles of God's word. To the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose in which it accomplished through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. We have the confidence and the faith that we can go before God the Father because of what Jesus Christ did. But God spoke, and through the word, the entire creation existed. Everything that we see. All right, let's go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to pick up in verse 4. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, everything was created through him and for him. It says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We'll look at this when we get into Genesis as well, how life was given, how life was breathed into human beings. But we also see that Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. In him was life. He gave life at the creation through the command of God, and he is the one who is offering and will provide eternal life. So he's the source of eternal life. I want to quote John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. This is a reference passage. But 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Eternal life and the opportunity to have eternal life is only through Jesus Christ. And there is no other way around it. You can't say, well, there's another way. We can figure out a different way to have eternal life. People have tried. They still try. But he said, the life is in his Son. Christ said, if you're none of mine, you're not going to be in the resurrection. Now we see a context here in 1 John, or in John 1 and verse 5. We see the context change from the very beginning of the creation to now talking about his first coming and appearance as Jesus Christ. So it tells us in John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, meaning there were two of them. And here in verse 5 it says, the light shines in the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, talking about John the Baptist. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. So this was planned from the beginning, that Jesus Christ would come as a light shining in the darkness. But the darkness didn't believe it. So John the Baptist came and he preached, there's going to be one coming after me. And he even said, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And that was the true light which gives light to every man that comes into the world. He was not in the world, and the world He was in the world, rather, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. Put yourself in the shoes of Jesus Christ. You were existent with glory long before there was any creation. You created the heavens and the earth. You beautified the earth. And you created human beings. And then when you came to talk to the human beings and offer them eternal life, said they didn't even recognize him. They wouldn't recognize who he was. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. You know, he said that salvation is of the Jews, and he came to preach to the Jews, and the Jews rejected him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. Now verse 14 very clearly tells us, who is this word that is being talked about? The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John 1 describes the relationship in the very beginning, before any physical creation, describes then the creation, that it was done through Jesus Christ, and that Christ was going to bring eternal life, and he was going to bring light. And he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It describes what later took place, and even telling us that when he came, he would be rejected. This was the Word, the one who became Jesus Christ. All right, now let's go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, according to Merriam-Webster dictionary and other dictionaries, the word Genesis means the origin or the coming into being of something. So when we read Genesis, it means the beginning, the origin. But we also know John starts off in the same way. Same words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, or in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Again, the beginning. And that's why we see Genesis as that first book, describing the beginning and the origin of the physical creation, at least as we know it. Because time will show, and as we go through these particular passages, we see that there were physical things created before even this period in time. So Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And there's a lot to this one particular verse. Scientists and Bible scholars have argued and debated over the creation for thousands of years. Well, the creation is a fallacy. We've proved that things existed for maybe even millions of years before the creation. So the Bible's wrong. Or they'll say, well, the Bible is only, if you believe in a 7,000-year plan or 6,000-year plan for mankind, that the Bible's wrong, because things are older than 6,000 years. So in the beginning, or in a beginning, as it should be written, because we know in the beginning was only the Word and God, the Word and the Father. That's what was in the beginning. That is the beginning. Well, now we read in a beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown states, in the beginning, a period of remote and unknown antiquity hid in the depths of eternal ages. That's an eloquent way of writing. We don't know how long it was. It was a long time. In the beginning. So we don't know how long it was from verse 1 and verse till verse 2, but it is apparently a long period of time. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Again, I mentioned the two songs, hymn number 3 and hymn number 125, I think it was. And it talks about God being the creator and God forming these things from the foundation of the earth and God making these things and for a purpose to be a part of his family. So it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, we go to John 1:1, we find out, okay, what did God consist of? Consisted of the Father and of the Word. So we will look at this word God. Strong's exhaustive concordance says this word is Elohim, and is a plural word. In the beginning, gods, or in the beginning, God, meaning a family, created. It says specifically used is in the plural sense, especially of the article of being the supreme God, the only God, the God that only existed at that time. Our daily Bible verse blog says the Hebrew word translated God in our English Bible is Elohim. And this is an interesting word because it's actually a plural form of a singular Hebrew word, El, E-L. And that's why you see all these different names of God, El Shaddai, El Kankana. All of these names that begin with El, talking about the eternal, the one who existed. El or Eloah, meaning God or the mighty one. This is our first hint that there is more to the identity of the Creator than a casual reader might reveal. If you just read God created, and most people will say, well, that was God the Father. That's all there was at that time, was God the Father. Many are surprised to learn that God is actually a family. Elohim can be viewed as a family name similar to a modern last name. In the beginning, the Carters created. Or in the beginning, the Marines created. This is a family name. The Bible reveals that within the God family, Elohim, there are two beings. Now, I'll state that again. The church says the Bible reveals that in the family of God, Elohim, there are two beings. I've had people over the years say, I heard that they're not a part of Kagwa, but they'll call me and they say, I heard Kagwa's teaching the Trinity. No, we don't teach the Trinity. We have always taught that there were two beings, God the Father and the Word, or God the Father and Jesus Christ when he became flesh on the earth. God the Father and the Word were a team, and they were a family. And they both did the creating. God spoke, and Christ did the creating. Everything was created through him and for him. And you can't deny that because there are so many scriptures as we've gone through, and we see it said it was created through Jesus Christ. It was created for Jesus Christ. He's going to be the heir of it, but it was created by him. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, I'm not going to turn there, but it says, you alone are the Lord. You have made the heaven of heavens with their host and the earth and everything in it, the seas and all that's in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. He said, you have made the heavens and earth, everything that exists on it, but he also preserves them. And it's interesting when we look at science, because science comes up with all these different laws, the laws of motion, the laws of energy, and all of these things are put into place. One of the hymns that we sang this morning as we began talked about how God puts it into motion, but how he formed it, how he placed certain things in a certain way, how he operates it, and he preserves it. But they did it together, and it was a family. And we'll continue in verse 1. In the beginning, which we covered is in a beginning, God, Elohim, the family, created heavens and earth. This word created literally means to create. That's not a mind-shattering truth, but it's important to understand this particular word. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says this word created, not formed from any pre-existing materials, but made out of nothing. That's why we don't say, well, you know, this past week, I created something. I created the best meal. No, I made a great meal, but I didn't create one. I didn't form a great meal out of nothing. That would be impressive. I had nothing, and then I had a meal because I created it. No. This word created is something that's special. It means to be made of nothing. Now, as a reference, this is an important scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by who? By the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He says, in the beginning, when things were created, they were created from things that did not exist. He didn't just come by one day and say, oh, I'll stop by the earth. well, it's just a bunch of bubbling primordial soup and I'll make a man. No, he created. And it tells us that he did the creating from nothing, from things that were invisible. So it was from these invisible things. And scientists say all energy contains matter. That even just energy itself contains matter. But we're still discovering how things function together. Albert Einstein developed the formula energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, or E equals MC squared. God formed the creation from nothing that is seen. But all the power had to be there for God to be able to form something with the energy to cause it to be formed. And God said there was nothing visible, there was nothing there, but through his energy, through his power, he created, meaning he made something that did not exist. So God formed the creation from nothing that is seen and had all the power to do that, to cause that matter to be able to come together. We see through the 7 days of creation, and as you go through and you look at the Genesis here, which talks about a beginning, and it talks about the creation week, and talks about what was created, all that God created, he said, is good. It's important to understand that. So God created and liked what he created. It had a purpose. And just as we know from Scripture and know from the hymns that we read, it was planned from the foundations of the earth. Before the earth ever existed, it was planned. And God said, I have a purpose. I'm creating a place that I'm going to develop a family, and it needs to be inhabitable. So what happened then in verse 2? After Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, this Elohim, the God family, created the heavens and the earth. In verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God came to look at it, and it said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the earth. Now, we read earlier that Christ did the creating and Christ brought light to the earth. First, we'll examine this word was. And again, this is why in looking at the Word of God, we have to look at what was the original writing, what was the intent of what was being written. I've had individuals say, well, what is the best translation that has everything right? There isn't one. You have to go from book to book. You have to study. You have to, like the Bereans, search it out and prove it. There isn't one Bible translation that has everything correct. But this word was is the Hebrew word hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. And it is a word that means became. Now that's important because it says God created the heavens and the earth. And that's why I say, what's the separation and what is the time period between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2? Probably a very long period of time because Genesis 1 verse 2 said the earth became without form and void. God doesn't create things that are without form and void. It said darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Daily Bible Verse blog describes a Hebrew lexicon points out that this world does not just denote the states of being at one time. It also can describe a change or progression of change from one state of being or change from one period of time to another. And that's what was taking place here. The earth became. The earth went through a transformation period from how God created it to what he was looking at now as his face observed the darkness in the waters. According to Brown Driver Briggs, this word hayah can be translated to become or to come to pass. So the earth was to become like this. The word translated became or become is used 133 times in the Old Testament. An example of this word became or becoming describes the transition from one state to another is the same word used in Genesis 19:26, where Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. Or they could have translated it. It wouldn't have made that as much sense. As if it translated it the way it does, the earth was without form and void, wouldn't make sense to say Lot's wife was a pillar of salt. Oh, I didn't even realize I married a pillar of salt. No, she became a pillar of salt. She wasn't one, but she became one. There's a transition, and this is that same word. So it's a vital piece of knowledge revealed about the creation. So we look at God the Father creating through Jesus Christ, but yet now we see it became tohu and bohu, or as many translations say, without form and void. So what does that mean? What do those two words mean, tohu and bohu? Strong's exhaustive concordance on these words, tohu, T-O-H-U, is from an unused root word meaning to lie waste, desolate, a worthless thing, or in vain. This term in vain is important. And this word means it is worthless, it's in vain. Bohu, B-O-H-U, is from an unused root word that means to be empty, undistinguishable ruin, emptiness, or void. I want to read from our blog again. It says, tohu and bohu are often paired together in the Old Testament and portray a place of chaos, formlessness, emptiness, or wasteland. And that's taken from Brown Driver Briggs' lexicon. So God created everything, and it became in vain, worthless, desolate, empty, void. Did God create it that way? Does it say God created the heavens and the earth, and they were ugly and void? That's what Scripture looks like it says. He did not create it that way. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 says, His work was perfect. God didn't create it in a state of corruption or worthless. Isaiah 45 and verse 18, another reference scripture. Isaiah 45 and verse 18, Thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, and who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. So he said he created it, but he did not create it in vain. But yet we read in verse 2 that the earth was in vain. It was tohu and bohu. It was in a state of destruction, state of lying waste. So it was not created in vain. It was not created to be void. It became that way. But interesting here, he said he formed it to be inhabited. When he did the creation, before man came on the scene, he was forming it to be an inhabitable place for man. So God formed it as a place to prepare for those of his future family. Another reference scripture is 1 John 1 and verse 5. 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message which we had heard from him to declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness. Now, if God is light and in him is no darkness, Christ, it says in John 1 that Christ came as the light of the world. Did they come and create, but yet it was darkness over the face of the deep? What happened? What took place that destroyed that first creation? Again, this was long before angels were created. When he began to form some of these things, angels, when he created the physical earth, here in Genesis, the angels existed. They did exist at that time. But John 1:1, in the very beginning, they had not even existed. Let's go to Job chapter 38. And Job describes some of the creation, and it's not a typical place that you'd think, well, I want to read about the creation, so go to the book of Job. But Job chapter 38 and verse 1. It tells us what took place and gives us a time frame of some of these things. It says, The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. He said, I'm going to ask you some questions because here you're doubting me and you're wondering why I do certain things. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He said, you're going to question me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have any understanding. Who determined its measurements? Did God just create, like it says, we read in the Bible verse blog, that just an explosion that had no purpose, it just, there was a, God, you know, people will say, well, you know, I believe in the Big Bang, but it just happened, and so it wasn't really God creating it, it was just this explosion, or unintentional explosion. No, God had a purpose in what he was creating, so he says, where were you when I determined its measurements? How long and how many thousands, millions, or more of years did God the Father and the Word plan the earth, laying out its foundations, laying out the measurements of it? And it said, who determined its measurements? Surely you know, talking to Job, kind of mocking Job's approach to things. Surely you know, or who stretched a line upon it? They planned it, and everything is so intricate that science says, oh, everything, if the planets, the rotation, if they were off by just a small degree, everything would be chaos. Because God stretched a line on it and made everything operate and work, and God says he still sustains it. So he said, who laid the line upon it? To where is its foundations fastened? You know, we see the picture of the solar system where you see the giant globes and people make these for their art or science projects, but they're attached with wires and you see how they move around. He says here, where is its foundations fastened? How do these things move around in space and just nothing and yet still operate the way that they do? Or who laid its cornerstone? God is telling us when he did the creation, it wasn't in vain. He measured, he laid out the lines, he presented and planned the way things were going to happen. It wasn't done in vain. But we read in verse 2 that it was in vain. He said, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, and sons of God are often referred to as these angels, they shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with its doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, the angels rejoiced and shouted for joy. The angels rejoiced over the creation. So that means the angels were there at the physical creation of the earth, but they weren't there in the beginning in John 1:1. Didn't say in the beginning was the Word was with God. Oh yeah, and millions of angels. No, it just says those two existed. But it wasn't created as a wasteland. They didn't rejoice and say, oh, look at this desolate wasteland that God created. It's beautiful. And rejoiced. No, they rejoiced because it was created perfect. I want to look at the description of when Lucifer, at the time, was considered the anointed cherub. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And in verse 12. Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. It says, son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre. Now we read earlier of Melchizedek and we understand who that was. Lay up lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to them, thus says the Lord, you were created, or you were the seal of perfection rather. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Well, we look at this and go, there was a king of Tyre that went to Eden? Well, there was, when we understand who the king of Tyre is. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. Now, many of you ladies like to wear jewelry. And I don't know of anyone, at least on their wedding day, who doesn't like to see a diamond or some kind of jewelry given to them or a precious stone. We don't say, it's nice, but that's kind of tohu and bohu. It's in vain. These are the describing the garden of God and all these precious stones. These are beautiful things that even today are considered valuable and beautiful. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. Angels were created. He says, you were the anointed cherub who covers, and I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God, and you walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. This is describing something that was beautiful, including Lucifer at the time. He says, you were perfect in all your ways from the day that you were created. Now, to create is to make from nothing. So he was made from nothing. He was created. Till iniquity, or till sin, was found in you. And Satan's rebellion removed all that he had been given, including his name. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, and we look at this particular fall. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. Isaiah 14 and in verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, and how are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Because remember, he was in Eden, he was on the earth. He said, I will ascend to heaven, I'll exalt my throne above the stars, I will sit up on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend, above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, where he says you're going to be brought down to hell or the grave, the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this man, or is this the one, to be made, who made the earth tremble and who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness or desert or wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of its prisoners. We'll see, and you can read about how Satan drew one third of the angels. And there was a battle that took place. And so he says, you who destroyed the earth, or the earth became a wilderness. Revelation chapter 12. This is why this particular study was so interesting for me and something that I still love to give, because it goes from Genesis to Revelation and everywhere in between and stating the same truth. Revelation 12 and verse 4 tells us of Lucifer when he was cast down. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, talking about the future Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Kill all the male child 2 years or younger. This is what was taking place. And so it's giving past, present, and future things that were taking place. A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was their place found in them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Do we wonder where Satan is? He was cast to the earth. He's here on the earth, and we still deal with him today. Now, the word cast out means he was thrown or thrust. He was thrust from heaven to the earth. It describes something that was done before. But it also describes something that's going to be done again when he tries to ascend into the heavens again and tries to take over the throne of God. It is a dual prophecy, as many prophecies we find are, that it has one fulfillment, but it also happens again. Christ said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. Luke 10 and verse 18, Christ says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This tells us two things. It backs up what we just read about Satan being thrust or cast to the earth. But it also tells us that if he saw Satan fall from heaven to the earth, he was there. Barnes notes says that there may be an allusion in the language here to what actually occurs is something far distant period in the past when Satan was ejected from heaven, and there can be no reason for doubt. Now, there are certain things that we can gain from commentaries and descriptions, and here Barnes notes has it very true, something that happened in a distant period in the past, and yet there's no reason to doubt he's talking about Satan being cast out when he was cast out of the earth, out from heaven to the earth. So how long again was it from verse 1 to verse 2? And I'll tell you, we don't know. It was a long time. We see, though, there's a lot of things that took place from the creation. I don't think he came and in 30 minutes he was able to destroy the earth and make it void. There was a long period of time in between that and what was taking place, possibly millions of years. Up until the creation, Genesis 1 verse 14, time wasn't kept. And so Genesis doesn't tell us there were so many years. In Genesis 1:1, it doesn't even tell us that there were years or days or measurements of time. Because as with God, time isn't the same as what we use it today. We count our minutes. We count days. As we get older, we begin to count those days and realize there might not be as many as what we thought. But until that time, time wasn't kept. So we go back to Genesis 1, and we'll continue in verse 3. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. It's interesting that when God does the creating or recreating through the word Jesus Christ, he starts with light. So Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created. There was a long period of time in between, and now it says, God said. Once he came and he went along the spirit of the deep, and he said that upon the face of the waters, he said in Genesis 1, and we see light was added. Now, when Christ came in John 1:1, he said he was the light of the world. Light was added to the world. Genesis 1 and verse 3 says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So we actually see God counting time from verse 5 on. He says, now I'm going to give you a daylight and a nighttime and a daylight portion. And this makes up a day. Describes what a day is. Now, you see through the rest of the creation week that he says on the second day or the evening and the morning were the second day, the evening and morning were the third day. He describes it now in daylight and day periods. And people say, well, it would be impossible for God to create all of these things in a day. Well, you're talking about the one who can create from nothing, so we won't limit how long it took God to do particular creation or recreation. But the evening and the morning and God's counting of time, and we still use that, and it's important to our doctrines because we realize in counting time, it takes a nighttime and a daytime to make a day. So when you get to the resurrection of Christ, he said, I will be in the three, I'm only going to give you one sign that I'm the Messiah. 3 days, three nights in the grave. Well, 3 days, daylight, and a nighttime portion, or nighttime portion and a daylight portion, and three nights. So you can't go in the grave on a Friday and come up on a Sunday morning. Not according to God. So verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Firmament means expanse, or a visible arch. Merriam-Webster defines it as a field or a sphere. So God created this sphere that separated water from water and said, thus God made the firmament. He made this sphere and divided the waters that were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament. Today's a good day to think about that. There's water on the parking lot, and there's also water up above, and it's coming down finally in California. There's rain, there's a separation, and if there was a cloud above the earth, there's a cloud of water, and God separated those. He said, there's going to be a space that I'm creating. So it's the first heaven mentioned, and it simply means lofty or sky. God created a sky. We later find that there are three heavens. I won't take the time to get into that, but there are three separate heavens and three descriptions of heaven. But when we talk about the first heaven, it's just talking about the sky. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And so it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb, and the that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. Obviously, these things were no longer present because the earth was void and corrupted, whose seed was in itself and on the earth, and it was so. So God's preparing the earth once again to be inhabited, the way he created it from the very beginning. He's creating it or changing the earth to be inhabited. Verse 12, the earth brought forth grass and herbs and all these things of its kind, and God saw that it was good. And so the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, seasons, for days and years. So it doesn't say God created lights in the heaven. He said, let those lights in the heaven be for the measuring of time, for signs, seasons, days, and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Another reference is Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 12. Isaiah 48 verse 12 says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I'm also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand is stretched out over the seas. When I call them, they stand up together. Describes what he was doing here in the creation. Verse 16, then God made two great lights. He made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser to rule the night. He made, and that's in italics, the stars also. Now, some might say, well, stars and planets did not exist at this point. The sun and the moon did not exist until God made them here. Well, the word made is different from the word that we read earlier, created. Created was to make something from the invisible, something that does not exist. The word made here is different. Jameson Fosse Brown said, both the lights may said to have been made on the fourth day, not created. For it is a different word that's used here, and it means constituted in or appointed to the important and necessary office of serving as luminaries of the world and regulated their motion and their influence in the progression of the division of time. So, can I make something? If I make dinner, it means I'm taking something that's already there and making dinner. I love it when people say, I made dinner from scratch. What'd you make? And they said, I dumped it out of the box and put it in the oven. Well, that's not making dinner. You heated dinner. But if I made dinner, I'm making from things that existed. I'm not creating dinner. I'm not making it from nothing. But you can make. And so God here, he made these lights to be for a specific purpose. Or he appointed them, and that's what this word means. As we look at translations, you can say, well, the word made and the word created are the same thing. No, God said, I created from nothing, but those things that he created from the beginning when Genesis 1:1, where it says he created the heavens and the earth, he created the heavens already. He created the stars already. And now he says, I made them. I appointed them for a particular reason. So he goes on. And he goes through, let the waters abound with, in verse 20, let the waters abound with living creatures and the birds. And as we go down, we see more and more of the creation. And let the earth bring forth, in verse 24, every living creature according to its kind. Verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image. According to the likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God said, "Let us make man in our image." Again, two particular passages, Genesis 1 and John 1, that describe so much of the entire purpose of the Bible, of God is reproducing himself and his family. So it says, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." There was purpose and intention in the creation of human beings. And they have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We go down to verse 31, and God says, God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 2 and verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished." Now, Genesis 1:1 said God created the heavens and the earth. But then it became void. So then we see this rechanging, recreating, and making during the creation week. But it said they were finished, and that word means complete. The heavens and earth were complete. But on verse 2, it says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it." Not because he was tired. He had millions of years of creating the earth and creating laws and stretching out his rule to plan. But it said he rested on the seventh day. In it, because he had rested from all the work which God had created and made. Because he created and he made, both in that week. But he blessed the Sabbath and he sanctified it. Meaning he blessed it, he made it special, and he sanctified it. He set it apart for a particular reason. This isn't the law of Moses. This is God saying the seventh day is blessed and set apart. And so now 6,000 years later, we find ourselves looking at what was described in the book of Psalms. Let's turn to Psalm 102, final verse. Everybody likes to hear that. Final verse, Psalm 102, and in verse 25. Psalm 102 and verse 25. He said, "Of old you laid the foundations of the earth." He said, you were laying the foundation of the earth when you go to do something. A foundation is what you're going to build on top of. He laid the foundations of the earth. He created what wasn't there. "The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak, and you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." When you look at God the Father and you look at the Word and Jesus Christ, they are eternal. They have always existed and will always exist. And we, as a part of the family of God, will exist with them even after the earth is burned and changed again, as is described in Revelation. But God has revealed himself to us. He's opened it up. He said there's mysteries that are not known from the beginning of time, but God says he's revealed them to us, and he says, "I've revealed them to the church," and he has called us to be the first human beings that are changed, and we become a part of that eternal family. It's what God had planned in the beginning.